NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Over the weekend, news broke about a massive cyber attack on an oil pipeline that stretches more than 5,000 miles from the Gulf Coast all the way to the northeast of the United States. The pipeline is run by this company called Colonial, and it is responsible for delivering nearly half of the gasoline and jet fuel used on the East Coast. Hacking has become a huge global business, and hacker groups are bringing in billions of dollars from desperate companies and individuals trying to get their data back or regain access to their systems. The White House has said a group of hackers known as DarkSide is responsible. They're thought to operate out of Russia. And in a very interesting twist, DarkSide released a public statement. I mean, I'm looking at a press release right now saying, like, we are apolitical. We do not participate in geopolitics. I mean, is this typical or?
This is not typical.
Jia Ballou is the chief information security officer at Avast Software, an antivirus company.
There's a whole bunch of ransomware groups. Not all of them take the effort to issue these type of statements, to, you know, do press releases. The question is, why are they doing such a good communication strategy?
Today on the show, the hacking business. How big is it? Who is it targeting? And why would a group of hackers bother with a press release?
So, Greg, the inbox is flooded with newsletter feedback.
Is it good?
Everyone loves you.
Oh, really?
Yes. This week's newsletter is one of the best. I love your newsletter, Greg.
Oh,
it's my favorite out there.
Well, subscribe at npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter.
What went through your head when you saw the news?
The first thought that went through my head is how good we are at getting attacked, actually. And this is saying something.
Like how good the U.S. is at getting attacked by cyber attackers?
Well, it's not just the U.S. anymore, unfortunately. We saw it during the COVID pandemic. We saw ransomware also getting to hospitals. I mean, we've seen tons of critical infrastructure being held at the mercy of these attackers who are pretty much deploying rather standard, by this point in time, methods to go and victimize really important pieces of infrastructure that we all depend on.
So if you don't mind getting very, very basic, like what exactly happens in a ransomware attack? I mean, I know there have been some really, really high profile ones, like Sony got slammed with a huge one. I also remember the infidelity dating site, Ashley Madison. I remember they had a very theatrical hack happen to them.
I love this because I think it was almost like a movie plot. The employees came to work, and when they turned on their machines, it started blasting AC/DC.
Which song?
It was Thunderstruck. Thunderstruck! And yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it wasn't awesome. Obviously, it wasn't really awesome. But you get, like, the movie plot imagery that happens. So they come to work. AC/DC Thunderstruck is blasting at full pitch.
So obviously, you know, you can be locked out of your email. That doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Maybe it is a little bit if things get leaked. But, like, what are companies getting locked out of that is so valuable? Because the ransoms are often for millions of dollars?
Well, let's be honest. It's millions of dollars because it's not just about the connectivity and the access. It's also about the data that's been encrypted in the first place. In the case of the Sony attack, it was months of embarrassing details about all these actors that were under contract to Sony and, you know, racist comments by management and terrible stuff. So nobody wants this information out there.
Is there also system stuff in addition to, like,
yes,
the sort of
absolutely.
Embarrassment factor? Okay.
No, and unfortunately, like, the systems that are interconnected that are not just, like, the IT of the company but also the operational tech of the company, they are still running at a very often at a base system of just regular Windows. And unfortunately, these systems can be compromised during such an attack. So it's, you know, not just like, oh, let's just shut off internet access for the company. You have no email. It could be that part of that really critical infrastructure that actually runs that pipeline or operates that technology of the pipeline also needs to be shut down because it's running on Windows.
So this organization, DarkSide, I mean, is it like, do they have offices? Is it a traditional looking company or not?
Some of their practices are certainly traditional in the sense of their communications, their operations, their methods, the way that they have taken quite a professional stance to a lot of the communications they've had with their victims to ensure them that they will actually see their data back if they pay the ransom.
Yeah, they're organized.
They're very organized with, you know, a call center handling like customer questions and complaints. So really incredibly well organized in that regard.
Like a call center people can call into. It's like, so if you've been hacked, press one. If your systems have been frozen, press two.
Kind of like that.
Your call is important to us.
Exactly. But it's...
Really?
Yes, really. And if you've taken a look at them, they say that they don't want to hack critical infrastructure. They don't want to hack for political motivations. And they're not, you know, really trying to hack hospitals, et cetera.
I mean, I'm looking at a press release right now saying, like, we are apolitical. We do not participate in geopolitics. And they apparently give money to charity. It's like
It's a little Robin Hoody. Yeah.
It's a little Robin Hoody. There's something sort of endearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this... typical or?
This is not typical. There's a whole bunch of ransomware groups. Not all of them take the effort to issue these type of statements, to, you know, do press releases. I think what they've done very well from the beginning is a communication strategy. They've got that down. The question is, why are they doing such a good communication strategy? And I feel it's more to be kind of like professional about this and say, hey, ransomware is just a business like everything else. And we say what we do and we do what we say. So if you pay us, we give you your data back.
I mean, that is really interesting that it's almost like it seems like reputation is important even for a group like this, because there needs to be the trust that if you give them money, they will give you your data back. So brand reputation is important even among ransomware.
Yeah. And I think this is like a gross, naive misassumption on the part of anyone who falls for this communications lure. Bottom line, they're still in the business of ransomware, and they will always harm folks that never should be harmed because they think it's a victimless crime. And we've proven with the potential impact of this attack that it's not.
As you point out, DarkSide says that they won't hack hospitals and things like that, but... obviously, there have been some high-profile hospital hacks. There was one after COVID started, I think, in New Jersey, where a New Jersey hospital paid something like almost $700,000. It seems like holding people's data hostage pays a lot. Is that fair to say?
I think that's very fair to say.
Is it like many billions of dollars a year or millions? Or how big is this business globally?
I think it's many billions of dollars a year. If you take a look at the total cybersecurity threat that we're facing in 2021, we're looking at trillions in terms of the damage that's being caused by different types of cybersecurity threats.
What kind of a threat does this pose to, I guess, the U.S. economy and other economies around the world?
I think, honestly, this is a ticking time bomb that's only going to get worse, especially when it comes to critical infrastructure. You mentioned that hospital in New Jersey. There were hospitals all over Europe that still had this issue. There are universities that have these issues, and there are people who cannot pay that still become victims. But I think that, unfortunately, there's going to have to be an even worse one for us to kind of wake up and smell the coffee. It's not going to be enough to ask for critical infrastructure to be disconnected from the internet, because pretty much everything is going to be connected to the internet, especially that operational technology. I mean, it hasn't stopped us from buying internet-connected toasters and blenders. It's not going to stop us from putting all of our network management facilities for all this critical infra online.
Gia, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Stacey.
President Biden is reportedly preparing an executive order strengthening cybersecurity for federal agencies. There is no word yet on whether or not Colonial has decided to pay off the DarkSide gang to get its data back or not. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Dave Blanchard with help from Josh Newell. It was fact-checked by Sam Tsai. The Indicator is edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.